You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, two student journalists from UW System Schools tell us what they're seeing on their own campuses after the administration announced budget cuts and layoffs earlier this semester. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a student at a UW campus or parent thereof? How do budget cuts affect your educational experience? Are you in a major that's at risk of being phased out? Have you noticed class sizes increasing? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. First, a proposed power plant in Superior has been the subject of debate for years. Utilities say the natural gas plant would cut carbon emissions significantly, compared to coal. But to environmentalists, building a new plant that relies on fossil fuels feels like a step backward. Danielle Kading reports on a debate in northern Wisconsin with implications for the region's energy future.
Coal-burning power plants are bad for climate change. That's because burning coal releases a lot of carbon dioxide that contributes to global warming. Renewable energies like wind and solar are much cleaner, and they don't rely on fossil fuels. But the utilities say those energy sources just aren't reliable enough to provide power at all times, and battery technology isn't far along enough to make it through Wisconsin winters. That's why John Carr says power plants that run on natural gas are an important part of the transition to clean energy.
When wind and solar aren't quite enough to meet demand, it's there to ensure that that system is still reliable and affordable.
Carr is vice president for strategic growth at the La Crosse-based Dairyland Power Cooperative. Dairyland is part of a group of utilities in three states that's trying to build a new $700 million energy plant in Superior that would run on natural gas. They've been trying to build the Nemadji Trail Energy Center for 6 years. For many environmentalists, though, any new plant that still relies on fossil fuels isn't part of a clean energy transition. Jadine Sonada is the campaign coordinator for Sierra Club Wisconsin.
We need to be only investing in this clean energy and not simultaneously investing in the gas plant.
That disagreement is part of what has kept the Nemadji Trail project in limbo for so long. Dairyland has asked for a loan from the Federal Rural Utilities Service to pay for half the project's cost. That triggered an environmental analysis of the plant. The proposal has undergone multiple reviews as environmental and indigenous groups have fought it. Now a decision is drawing near. The Rural Utilities Service will decide whether building the plant will have significant environmental effects. One September evening, a small group is buzzing about the facility in a corner room of Superior's public library.
My main concern about that is that it would still generate fossil fuels.
That's Superior resident Kate Haga. The 23-year-old is worried about its effects on climate change. She points out natural gas production releases methane that has more than 80 times the warming power of carbon dioxide.
It's going to just speed up climate change rather than do what it's marketed to be, which is to be this bridge where we're addressing climate change.
Even with methane leaks, the Rural Utilities Service said in its latest review that the plant would cut carbon emissions overall each year by 770,000 tons compared to keeping coal plants online. But environmental groups argue the plant's carbon emissions are at least a million tons higher than the agency projected. And the Environmental Protection Agency says estimates of climate damages from the project don't look right either. Most everyone agrees that closing coal plants is a good thing. The debate is over what takes their place.
The natural gas plants are being built in part because of the rapid ramp down in coal-fired plants.
That's Karen Clay. She's a professor of economics and public policy at Carnegie Mellon University. If a plant isn't built, Clay says it may be more costly to bring in natural gas from elsewhere or maintain older coal plants. Minnesota Power has closed 7 of its 9 coal plants, and Dairyland closed one of its coal plants in southwestern Wisconsin 2 years ago. Utilities say the Superior facility will help Wisconsin meet its goal of providing carbon-free electricity by 2050. But UW-Madison energy expert Greg Nemeth says any new plants would release carbon dioxide beyond that date, or they'd have to shut down early.
We're going to be saddled with a lot of debt, and ratepayers are going to have to pay a lot for all these natural gas plants that we don't use anymore.
Now, some city leaders are withdrawing their support for the plant. They're concerned about its environmental effects as well as more local concerns. It would be built along the banks of the Nemadji River, and it's next to a cemetery with remains of tribal ancestors that were moved there to make way for a development that was never built. Some city council members say they'll oppose local permits for the project. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Now, a major round of layoffs was announced at UW Oshkosh last month. The news sent shockwaves around the campus, with nearly 250 university faculty and staff positions being affected by layoffs, voluntary retirements, and unfilled vacancies. And it's not just the UW Oshkosh campus. Many schools in the universities of Wisconsin are facing budget cuts following a recent mandate to get rid of structural deficits by 2028. Our next guests have been reporting on these and related issues for their student newspapers. They say student perspectives should be more front and center when university administration makes big decisions that affect their education. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a UW student or campus worker? How have you and your campus been affected by recent budget cuts and layoffs? Do you have concerns about the future of the UW system? If you're a parent of a student or you're looking for a school to go to right now in your part of the state, what do you think about all this? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Aubrey Selzmeyer is a sophomore majoring in journalism at UW Oshkosh, an opinion editor at the Advanced Titan, an independent student newspaper. Aubrey, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And Jack Schindler Van Hoof is a third-year student at UW River Falls, studying English, creative writing, and journalism. He's president and editor for The Student Voice, a student newspaper that covers the university and surrounding community. Jack, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Rob.
Aubrey, let's start with you. You wrote a piece for the Advanced Titan when the layoffs were announced at UW Oshkosh. Can you talk about the kind of reactions you're hearing on campus?
Yeah, so I started with, it's called Minimal Impact on Students, with a question mark, because, I mean, we were told that none of these layoffs are going to impact us. But in the long run, I mean, we're losing mentors, our professors are losing colleagues and friends. It's a whole dampen in morale, which I think come spring, it's going to be even more of a news break, kind of brand new to us, because all of a sudden it's going to set in. It's going to be real. There's going to be empty classrooms. Emails are going to go unanswered. And I think we're going to lose things that we absolutely took for granted and we may not even realize yet.
And
so,
what kind of programs and campus services are most affected by the layoffs, Aubrey?
I know for sure that our study abroad is going to be severely affected. Our testing center, our writing center, they're cutting so many full-time employees from places that didn't have that many to begin with. So although we were promised that we would have, you know, continued study abroad opportunities in the future, they're going to be more reliant on these external programs rather than customized faculty-led programs, which is obviously, you know, super disappointing. We just introduced my freshman year, so last year, a student navigator program, which helps out first year college students, you know, just is someone for them to reach out to so they can ask questions, they provide resources. So that was just introduced and we're already cutting that program. So, I mean, it's things like that that are just going to amount to a lot of change, and it's disappointing.
And Jack, turning to UW River Falls, I've seen your campus as one that's had a budget deficit. I haven't heard about similar cuts to what we're seeing at Oshkosh, at least not yet. Are there changes being made, or is there a sense that something like that might be looming at UW River Falls?
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, as you mentioned, we have a bit of a different perspective here at UW River Falls than at Oshkosh. And we are experiencing a deficit right now, but it's rather small compared to what I've seen, between $1 and $2 million deficit, I believe, although it's somewhere in between there. So the sentiment here is for the last 8 weeks or so, the third party consulting firm Deloitte Consulting has been here on campus, and which has been met with a lot of concern from staff and faculty. So our perspective is we haven't necessarily seen those budget cuts yet. We haven't seen any layoffs yet, but just the general mood on campus is one of apprehension. I know a lot of faculty, a lot of staff, like staff I know personally, and then just staff in general who are very worried about those upcoming budget cuts. And so we're kind of waiting. We're waiting to see, and it's kind of a bit of an anxious time right now. We're hoping to hear more about what areas, what we'll see budget cuts, because we are going to see budget cuts. It's just up in the air as to what programs may be cut, Hopefully we won't see the amount of layoffs that happened at UW Oshkosh. I know when we heard the news about that, it was kind of, I feel like anyone at any UW system would have been very worried and just worried by that news, kind of fearing that that might happen to their university next. But right now we're just kind of waiting to see.
And Jack, you and a colleague at the Student Voice interviewed, as I understand it, a University of Wisconsin president, formerly UW System, Jay Rothman, when the Board of Regents was visiting your campus earlier this semester. What were some of your takeaways from that meetup?
Yeah, that was Lexi Janzer, the assistant editor for The Voice. And she, one of her questions was about the DEI programs. And because those are recently affected by a $32 million budget cut that was kind of designed by the state assembly to directly impact those programs. And Rothman, when we interviewed him, or when Lexi interviewed him, kind of expressed that that he and the rest of the system are dedicated to maintaining those DEI and diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, which affect students with disabilities, LGBTQ plus students, students of color, underrepresented groups like that. And Rothman expressed the sentiment that the UW system is committed to those individuals and to providing them with a college experience that will benefit them. But even then, it's difficult because of those that $32 million budget cut to the UW system. So we're seeing kind of opposition on both sides from the state assembly and then UW system officials, and just kind of a lot of tension going tension going on between those two parties right now.
Talking to student journalist Jack Schindler Van Hoof at UW River Falls, Aubrey Salzmeier at UW Oshkosh with us to talk about how budget cuts and layoffs at the Universities of Wisconsin are affecting students on their campuses. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are we talking about you? Are you a student at a UW system school? Have you seen big changes, announced program cuts, layoffs, or maybe those things looming in the near future? Is it changing your experience on campus if you work at one of these schools we're talking about? Love to hear from you as well. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We continue our talk with student journalist Aubrey Salzmeier from UW Oshkosh and Jack Schindler Van Hoof from UW River Falls about how budget shortfalls, layoffs, and other changes throughout the university system are affecting students' educational experience. You could join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a student, a parent thereof, an alum, or employee at various UW system campuses, what are you seeing? What are you worried about? Are there changes you'd like to see made? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller. Ken is with us in Cross Plains. Ken, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
What did you want to bring up?
I'm a Wisconsin resident. I put five children through the Wisconsin system and have been studying diversity, equity, inclusion for the last 3-4 years. And I don't understand why our legislature is, taking away $32 million from the system because they're doing something that's really positive.
Ken, thanks a lot for the call. Aubrey, we heard Jack talk a little bit about this issue a few moments ago. What kind of things are you seeing at UW Oshkosh? Are you seeing changes to diversity, equity, and inclusion programs there, based on what Ken was talking about from the legislature?
I haven't seen those changes stated mm-hmm. yet, but it does look like a lot of our programs are going to be merging come spring and so on, which I know me and a lot of my writers at the paper are left wondering what this exactly means and how this high quality of support can continue to be given to students with less staff and double the workload for remaining staff members. I'm glad, that they're doing their best to keep these programs instated, but I also have to wonder how well this can go for anybody. I mean, we were told of the emergence, but no idea what it's going to look like come spring.
Thanks a lot for the call, Ken. Something I wanted to ask both of you about, in the legislature, and it seems like this is echoed in some cases by system administration, the idea that liberal arts programs should be cut or scaled back. Some schools, including UW-Green Bay, announcing cuts to certain majors, for example, in favor of more job-focused programming, maybe nursing or science and engineering-type fields. Jack, can you talk about that? Is this something you've seen at UW-River Falls or people are talking about or maybe concerned about that kind of change?
Yeah, well, as I mentioned before, UW-River Falls hasn't really seen any budget cuts yet. Mm-hmm. We're still kind of awaiting, like, the news might break literally any day now. So when it does, we'll have a lot to write about. But in regard to, you know, those liberal arts studies, we haven't seen anything cut yet, but in terms of like more, you know, more job oriented majors and programs like that, personally, from someone who's in the journalism, you know, comms, with comms as the umbrella, communications as the umbrella for the journalism department here, it's just very strange to me why liberal arts are being undervalued in the way that they are. Like communications, for example, like, talk to any business, any company, and I'm sure they'll say that they want their employees to, you know, have communication skills, to be able to talk with others, to be able to, you know, to be able to represent the company and such like that. And so communications is a course that's very applicable to any job you end up in. It's less so of a like a one-to-one correlation, like this major will go into this career, but it's universally beneficial for anyone who's going out into the workforce. And I think targeting liberal arts courses will really damage that sort of universal value that many of these courses offer.
And Aubrey, are you seeing this concern over the balance between liberal arts as a whole, particular majors versus more job-focused majors on your campus at Oshkosh?
Thankfully, we were promised that none of our majors are going to be eliminated, and students are able to rest assured that they will graduate with a degree in that major. But we have already seen paused enrollments for our school's theater major. So, I mean, it could be unfolding. I really hope not. But, you know, you never know. No idea.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Patty is with us in Manitowoc. Patty, hi.
Yes, I'm a grandma, but we have a whole bunch of family and relatives and grandchildren who have graduated through the UW system. Platteville, Milwaukee, UWGB, Madison, big time Madison, Oshkosh. I am of the opinion, well, you need to get the facts out there. The very people that should be listening to this information either aren't or refuse to. So please get these facts out on the airways and byways so that when it comes time to vote, we know who to vote for. And sadly, I have some younger nephews who are maybe switching to another party because they're disgruntled about how the planet is falling under the party. So please get the information out, and then no one can say that they weren't provided information.
Patty, thanks a lot for the call. Must have a pretty substantial sweatshirt collection from all those schools. But Jack, we've seen, and I believe in that interview your paper did with President Rothman, talking about advocating for state funding that slipped relative to other states when it comes to public universities. Is that something that you're hearing people talk about a lot?
Well, definitely. Yeah. Here at River Falls in particular, one of the things is one of the things that's going through the legislature right now is something called, we kind of refer to it just as our reciprocity bill. But essentially, out-of-state students from Minnesota mostly have to pay additional tuition, but that tuition doesn't go to UWRF. It goes to the state of Wisconsin. And one thing that we're trying to do is reallocate that money, which is about $4 million a year, so that it'll benefit UWRF specifically. And that would help with, again, our deficit and running programs and would alleviate, I believe, the need for budget cuts in the future. So that's just one sort of government funding that we're looking into specifically. It's a specific example of that.
And Aubrey, are there things people are focusing on the UW Oshkosh campus when it comes to advocating for more revenue, whether it's from the state or wherever, coming to your campus?
I think that in total, there was a pretty big response, not only at UW Oshkosh from this news, but just across the UW system in general. And I think that response was absolutely heard by our upper administration, so much so that I don't think that they're going to ever withhold, you know, this information last minute or drop, you know, news as great as all of these budget cuts and staff cuts were. So I think there was a shockwave and it was felt, and it's going to change how information is distributed moving forward.
I will leave it there. Aubrey, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Absolutely.
And Jack, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
Aubrey Salzmeier is a sophomore majoring in journalism at UW Oshkosh, an opinion editor at the Advanced Titan, that's an independent student newspaper on that campus, and Jack Schindler Van Hoof is a third-year student at UW River Falls studying English creative writing and journalism. He's the president and editor for the Student Voice, a student newspaper that covers the university and surrounding community. They joined us for a look at how budget cuts and layoffs throughout the university system are changing the student experience and how those issues could affect students' choices about which UW campuses to attend, what to major in, and more. You can keep sharing your thoughts. Email ideas@WPR.org.